We all know the phrase, easier said than done. And we apply it to so many different aspects of our lives, different tasks that are set before us, and we say, well, that's easier said than done. And it's probably well illustrated in this last part of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. We all know it's something we want to show, but boy, is it easier said than done. If you want an illustration of the issue, take yourself back to last Sunday evening and watch the Oscars. Now, I don't want us to go into the rights and wrongs of what happened that night, but I don't think there can be any doubt that self-control was not really shown by anyone concerned. It is so easy to talk about it. It is so difficult to actually put it into play in our lives, this self-control. And yet, we look at all of the fruit of the Spirit that we've been thinking about over these last weeks, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and, well, they're all easier said than done. All things that we would love to display in our lives, and yet it's just such a struggle at times. There are times when we get it right, and then times when it just disappears completely. Easier said than done. That is certainly true of self-control. Could be a very small, insignificant thing. It could be that biscuit that's sitting on the side. It's just calling out to you to pick it up and to eat it. When you know you don't need it, you know you shouldn't really do it. And yet, there goes the biscuit. If it was only about small things. Self-control is also about those big things that shape our lives. The character, the behavior, the attitudes are all under the government of our self-control, because that's how we display what's really going on in our hearts. If I was to shake my glass over Bill here, he would know what was in the glass very quickly. I'm not going to do it, Bill, you're all right. You can tell what's in the glass when it's shaken. You can tell what's in our hearts when we're shaken. When we feel like starting up and slapping somebody. You can tell what's going on, and it takes self-control to bring that under control. But it's not just about putting our own house in order. Sometimes we think that's what it is. Self-control is just about having all my ducks in a line so that everything's just fine in my life. And we know that goes well sometimes, but we also know that it just falls apart sometimes. Because self-control, as the Bible understands it, is not about me taking control. Self-control, as the Bible understands it, is about God having control over myself. It's about me bowing before God and saying, I cannot do this. But you can. And allowing God to have control in my life. It's putting ourselves under the very power of Jesus Christ. You know, there are times when we're faced with things, whether it's a biscuit or whether it's something much more important, more significant. We could talk ourselves out of it. We don't need it. We don't want it. Wouldn't be good for me. And we divert ourselves, and possibly that's good and helpful at times. But what we really need is a source of power, a source of real change. to change what's within us so that when we are shaken, what spills out are these fruit of the Spirit that we've been looking at. Self-control, true self-control. It's part of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And it's not just about sitting back and allowing the Holy Spirit to pour his self-control into our lives. Maybe that's part of it, receiving that gift. But we need to open that gift. We need to live that gift. We need to live out our self-control. Controlling ourselves is all about allowing ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, allowing ourselves to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ, so that every aspect of our lives begins to be controlled by him. And then it's no longer, wow, look at the self-control she shows. Look at the self-control that he demonstrates. Look at the grace of God that has allowed him and her to show that self-control. And that's a different issue. Controlling ourselves is coming under the lordship of Jesus. This passage that Jeff read for us from 2 Peter brings us back to our foundation. It's interesting, Peter doesn't begin by wagging his finger and telling people, you must be self-controlled, you must be growing in this, you must be doing that. Peter begins by reminding us who and what we are because of Jesus Christ. And so here we read in verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So we don't need to go scurrying around looking at all these other possible helps to us in living godly lives. God has given us what we need. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So that's what God has already done for us. We talked about looking for that power to change our lives, for that source of power and change. And here it is. The Bible simply says, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And that most surely includes self-control. But the Bible doesn't leave it there simply telling us who and what we are because of what's gone before. Because of God's power, because of Jesus, we have life and godliness. Peter then goes on to say, for this reason, because of who you are in Jesus, because of what God has done for you in your life, for this reason, make every effort. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Make every effort. Now there's an interesting thing. We are called to make an effort in our godly living. Yes, we receive from God, but we are called to demonstrate that we have received from God by the way that we live. Godly living. Now, we need to remind ourselves that this is not make every effort so that God will notice you. It's not an attention-seeking thing that we will make every effort to do all these things so that maybe God will notice me down here doing all these things and he'll be kind to me. No, God has already done that. God has already shown us unspeakable kindness in Jesus Christ. This is knowing those things, experiencing what God has done for us, and because of that, making every effort. Now, sometimes we look at these lists and we think, oh, that's the way I have to do things. I have to start at the beginning with faith, and then I have to work on goodness, and then I have... These things grow together. One of the things that has struck me looking through the fruit of the Spirit over these past weeks is how they're all interrelated. You can't have one without the other. How can we show self-control without love and patience? They work together. So it's not, you know, when some exams, I'm sorry if you're studying for exams or getting ready, I'm sorry to remind you of it, but sometimes there's a paper which will give you 5 or 6 questions and you attempt any 3. That's not what the fruit of the Spirit is about. It's not looking at that list and saying, well, there's a few that I'm really good at. Those are the ones I'll stick to. This is God growing this full-bodied, godly life in us as we make every effort to live out what He has already lived into our lives. So it creates lots of questions for me. Am I making every effort? Am I making every effort to grow in those decisions I need to make? The temptations that I face? The attitudes that I know need to change and not really doing it? The behavior, all those things, are we actually making an effort in those things? Are we making an effort to increase our knowledge of God's character and will? Bible's full of it. Are you and I making that effort? That's part of why we read Scripture. To grow in our knowledge of God's character and will, which leads us into worship, which reminds us of who God is, which reminds us of what He has done for us, which then moves us and motivates us more to make the effort to live those godly lives. Am I making the effort to grow in my knowledge of God's character and will? Am I making the effort to grow in self-control? Making the effort based on God's promises, based on Jesus. Jesus, the one who is always in control. You read through the Gospels, you see chaos around Jesus, but Jesus is always perfectly in control. People are pushing and shoving and jostling around Jesus. He's got a busy schedule, and a woman tugs at the hem of his gown, and he knows he's in control of that city. He knows what's going on. And he addresses her needs. He's not caught off balance. He's totally in control. As those days before the crucifixion begin to unfold, we see the Jesus who is totally in control. He's not there by accident. He's not there pushed along by the whim of the crowd or by coincidence or the way things worked out. Jesus is in control, and he walks into Jerusalem. He's in control as he stands before Pilate. He's in control as he is flogged by Roman soldiers. He's in control as he is nailed to the cross. He is in control. And as he rises from the dead, he is in control. This is the Jesus whom we're called to make every effort to know. And we bring ourselves under his lordship. As we have talked about this fruit of the Spirit over these past weeks, that prayer of John the Baptist just keeps coming back to me time and time again. People are looking to John and saying, John, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? Are you the one? And John keeps saying, no, don't look at me. Look at him. Look at Jesus. He must increase I must decrease. When it comes to working out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that's what it's about. I must decrease, and He must increase. And as that works itself out in our lives, then that fruit of the Spirit grows and flourishes and demonstrates the goodness and greatness of our God. May God give us the grace that we need to make every effort to shape our lives as He calls us to. Because then our lives will give Him praise and glory. Then our life together will be a strong, irresistible witness to the world that watches. Until then, we're a gathering of people. But as we decrease and Jesus increases, we're much, much more than a gathering of people. We're the church. May God give us all that we need to be that church. In these chaotic days, and to Him be all praise and glory. Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge that you are the great God. We have sung, "How great is our God." Lord, help us to live, "How great is our God," so that others may know that truth in their own lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.